Chapter 20. I would ask that you would pray for Teresa Shepherd. Teresa Shepherd, we got a call yesterday that she had fallen on Thanksgiving Day and broke her wrist. And they spent 5 hours in the emergency room. And so she, her daughter, fortunately, was here with her visiting. And she asked us to pray. That's the same daughter, if you remember, that's going through cancer treatment and had some cancerous tumors removed. So they're going through quite a bit of a difficulty right now. And Teresa's going to be going down south and spending a couple months with her daughter because she can't do much for herself. And I think that's probably a good thing. So you pray for her. We will have an address. She had given us her address. If you want to send her a card to pray for her, a little bit of recuperation, we'll put that in a Wednesday bulletin so you can have that if you'd like to write her occasionally. I know she would appreciate that as a church. This is her church. This is her home. And we thank God for the Shepherds over the years. That's the same family I told you about years ago when they first came to the church and the church couldn't pay bills. They would come and collect all the bills and pay it out of their pocket. That's the kind of family they were. And so I'm really thankful to God for the Shepherds. They've always been a blessing to us and to our ministry here. And so she loves it here, and that means a lot to her. And I know she would appreciate your praying for her. Let's stand together as we read God's Word. Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse number 29. The Bible says, "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will ye that I should do unto you?' And they said to him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." Thank you, and you may be seated. Have you ever thought about all the people that God puts in your life who loves you? Have you ever thought about it? Think about when you're born, God puts your parents in your life that love and care for you. And then it's your grandparents. Then it's your siblings. Then it's your cousins and others. They're there to love you. And then there's the church family as they take you to church. And then you have, when you go to school, there's your teacher. And your teacher loves you. And before long, you start realizing that there are other people in the world besides you and your family. And so then you have peers that love you. And then through the years, as you begin to grow, you start looking out and you have acquaintances and neighbors and others that God puts in your path that loves you. And then before long, you find yourself graduating from high school, go off to college, and then you have college roommates, and the goal is that they'll love you before the year's out. And then you have your college professor and your college teachers and your college president. And then the love of your life comes along generally about that time. And then you start your family, and then you have your children, and then so God puts a lot of places where you have love in your life, whether you realize it or not. Thank God for that. But while you have those in your life, and God has placed them there, I want you to know that nobody will ever love you more than Jesus Christ. Nobody will. I read about a pastor who was late in coming to his pulpit. It was now 5 minutes past the hour, and he had not come to the pulpit to preach. The janitor of the church went down and knocked on the door, and the pastor was there standing before a window looking out over the slums in Chicago. Tears were streaming down his cheeks. The janitor came and said, "Pastor, it's time for you to come and preach. They're waiting on you." And he saw the tears streaming down his cheeks. And he asked him, he said, "Pastor, why are you weeping?" He said, well, as I look out this window and I look out of all the slums in Chicago and I look at the desperate needs that people have and the conditions in which people are living in, and I think of their spiritual life, it says, it breaks my heart and I can't help it. And tears kept streaming down his cheeks just as he was telling the story. The janitor said to him, said, Pastor, you'll get over it. And the pastor said, that's why I'm weeping. And I wonder if we've kind of gotten over it. We know the condition of people, but have we gotten over it? Have we gotten to the place where, yeah, we know they're sinners, and yeah, we know that's where they are, and yeah, we know they're going to die and go to hell if they don't meet Christ, and yeah, we know that they need Jesus Christ, but we've sort of gotten over that. We've kind of didn't have the impact it did have when we first got saved. Well, here we find Jesus as he's making his way, the Bible says. He's departed from Jericho, and he's making his way along, and he runs into two people who are blind. This is Bartimaeus and his friend, and this story is also told in the other Gospels. As Jesus was going down to Jerusalem to die with two thieves, he did not consider his own life more important than the lives of these two blind men as they are on the wayside, the Bible says. If you notice here, the fact is that they knew that they were sitting on the wayside and they were in great need. So tonight, just like it was 2,000 years ago, we have a compassionate Christ. I'm glad that Jesus is just compassionate today as he was 2,000 years ago. Aren't you glad he didn't get over it? Because the truth of the matter is, this story is not so much just about two men who are physically blind. This story is about you and I and where we are without Jesus Christ. I want you to notice three reasons why his compassion. Number one is because of their condition. Their condition was one that certainly deserved Christ's compassion. There was no doubt about it. They were blind, the Bible says. According to Mark chapter 10, it was Bartimaeus. They could not see. He was the outspoken one. They were, if you notice here, that as they're blind, meaning that they cannot see, they have the inability to be able to see beyond themselves. That's where they were. And God was showing us here in this passage that's where the world is without Jesus Christ. They're blind. I remember years ago when my wife and I, we'd taken the kids and we went to some of these caverns. I'm not into the cavern scene, but some people like it. I remember we went to this cavern in Carlsbad, New Mexico. It's supposed to be one of the lowest caverns you can go into. And I remember we went down there, we go all the way, we got on the elevator, and it drops you 500 feet into the earth, and you get down there, and we got out, and here they had this cavern that goes all throughout. Maybe some of you have been there. And you have to stay together as a group because it's dangerous. You could get lost in a place like that. And I remember we were walking around in this cavern as a group, and we went up to this one area, it was kind of a low-lying area. You kind of everyone had to lower down and make their way through this area. And it was kind of like this open room, but it was, but we were all standing there. And of course, all of it is well lit. And so what happened is, just in a moment, our guide says, here's what it's like without lights, and he turned all the lights out. Now, you don't know how dark it is until you're in a cavern 500 feet with no lights. I mean, your eyes are searching for any ray of light it possibly can have. I know my pupils and everyone's must have been just really searching. There is no light. I mean, there's not a speck of light anywhere. Nothing. And while we're down there, I remember he said to them, he said, put your hand in front of your face and see how many of you can see your hand. And so, you know, like an idiot, we're all doing this. And so our hand is in front of our face, and then guess what happens? He turns the lights on and laughs at everybody. Because there's no way you could ever see your hand in front of your face because you're so blind. And that's an exact description of where we are without Jesus Christ. We are blinded by the God of this world without Christ. It's no wonder our world has no concept of who God is. It's no wonder when people get saved these days and you try to help them about, you know, here's a Bible and let me show you where Genesis is and let me show you where Revelation is and let me help you to understand there's an Old and New Testament and let me help you to understand about coming to church. No wonder people have no idea. Look, they're blind. Just like you and I are without Jesus Christ. Multitudes of people are blind in their spiritual condition and I've had so many of them tell me, well, I think I'm okay. Bartimaeus said, we're not okay. We're not okay. We'll never get out of this condition the way we are now. We have no ability to do that. There's no doctor that can take care of this need. There's no miracle worker that can take care of that. There's nothing that can do that. There's no philosophy that can change my condition. What I need is a Savior. I want to tell you tonight, that's what our world needs. They need a Savior. They need a compassionate Savior and one that is willing to reach down and touch them right where they are. And just as people think, well, I'm okay. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about when Isaiah was translated into heaven, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6? As he's going up into heaven and he sees God in all his fullness and he heard those words, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The Bible said that as the train, meaning that the train of the king, who was Jesus, had filled that heavenly kingdom. Meaning he was the owner, he was the possessor, that heaven is all about Christ. And the Bible said that Isaiah said, I'm okay. You know what it says? No. You read that passage out to you know what it says? Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst people of unclean lips. The truth of the matter is, listen, tonight, we're not okay. None of us are okay. We need Jesus Christ. And the world is blinded with their religion and thinking, well, I'm okay. I've got religion, or I've got my church, or I've got this. And I'm going to tell you, you don't need those things. You need Jesus Christ. And they knew that. That was their condition. But they were stranded. The Bible said they were by the wayside. That's a path along the path. The normal path in which they would go, but this is an out-of-the-way place. In other words, they were kind of set off from the normal course of life. It was along the wayside where the beggars would beg people as they came up the normal path. That's where they were. They were stranded in their condition. They were sitting there because nothing else could help them. Have you ever thought about this way? That's exactly where the devil puts us. He strands us in our sin. Sometimes it breaks my heart as I drive down the roads and I see some of these poor people who are hooked on drugs and meth and all the other things. And you can tell as you drive down their need. It's obvious they need Jesus. They're stranded. They're hooked in their condition. And the Bible said they were just sitting there and they were looking for someone to come along and they had heard about Jesus. They heard that he was compassionate, and do you think that he would care enough to stop and help us? But not only that, they were helpless. Someone had to lead them to this place. Someone had to tell them about that Jesus was coming, and obviously they were not able to see him for themselves because they were helpless in their blindness. That's where we are. We're helpless. Romans 5 says it like this: for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's where we were, and man cannot and is not able to comprehend all that Christ did. But I want you to know this tonight, that here's a perfect picture of a helpless man without Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that when Jesus comes along and he sees them where they are and he sees their condition, the Bible said he's moved with compassion. Thank God he didn't get over it. You know what my concern tonight is? We get over it. We get over it. You know, the longer we walk with God and the longer that we're saved and the less we do to help other people, the easier it is for us to get over it. Here's what I think. I think when you get saved, you got to be out door knocking or out soul when you're trying to do something to win somebody the next week. I do. I think we ought to be doing something, handing out a tract. We ought to be, you know, trying to talk to someone about Christ, sharing our testimony, telling people about what happened in our life. Whatever it is, we ought to be doing that. When we don't do that, you know what we're doing? We're just getting further and further away from what we ought to be doing. We're getting over it. I'll never forget when I got saved as a 14-year-old boy. I remember in my high school, that as I went into high school, I was about 16. It was a couple years after that. Went to high school, and one of my Christian friends said to me, "You know, I know you've been saved a couple of years, but you'll get over it." I'm going to tell you something, folks. When you get yanked out of your sin toward heaven, you'll never get over it. But it's really sad when we get over the fact we have a burden for somebody else. Jesus, the Bible says, because of their condition, he was compassionate. But second of all, because of their cry, verse 31. The Bible said that they were pleading, the plea to Christ, "Dear God, please help us, Lord." It was the mercy they were asking for. They knew their condition was one that called for mercy. They sought for his mercy. They had hope that it was totally complete and that his mercy was going to take care of it. A lost man needs God's mercy, for he cannot earn it nor deserve it. We must depend on the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You realize the cross is the ultimate picture of compassion. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit," or Holy Ghost. In other words, it's that mercy of God, the reason why that I got saved on October 22nd, 1972. And some of you, when you got saved, the reason why is because of the compassion and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. They were crying out for that. That was their plea. The problem is, though, this crowd was standing in their way. Did you notice that? The multitude, the Bible said, rebuked them. Can I tell you this? Be careful, because the crowd will sometimes stand in the way of you and God. Be very, very careful. Be careful, because if you're not mindful of this, you're going to find that the crowd's going to be trying to dictate to you when you go to church, what you do as a Christian, how you live your Christian life. The crowd will try to dictate to you, "Well, you know, you just get over. You get over. You don't need to be out here all the time. You don't need to be serving Jesus. That's just a preacher. That's to give him something to preach on." See, that's how it works. The multitude can get in the way. The problem is they wanted to get to Jesus, and the crowd could care less about them. All they want to do is stifle him. You be quiet now. You don't do that. Don't interrupt him. He's busy. I think the crowd thought these two men weren't worthy of Jesus' time. Isn't that sad? It's so different from the four men that carried that man who was lame and took the roof off where Jesus was preaching and got him to Christ. Give us some men like that. Not like this crowd that stands in the way of people who need to get to Jesus. Really, what the crowd should have done was they should have moved out of the way and helped him get up to Jesus. Instead of standing back saying, "Yeah, you don't need to do that." Hey, look, church, let me tell you, there are people that are coming on Sunday morning and they're ready to walk out and get saved. I mean, they're ready to go. I'm watching them. You can't see, but I can. Look, if someone even kind of leans toward it, move out of the way. Let him get out. We want him to get saved. Amen, church? We want him to know Christ. We don't want to make it easy for people to get saved here. That's what it's all about. That's what life is about. Walking with Jesus. And that's where Jesus was. He was going along, and the problem was the multitudes are standing in the way. Well, you know, you don't need to bother him. He's too busy right now. He's got a mission to accomplish. The mission is the people. Boy, they sure missed it. They missed the ministry. But notice the persistence of the man. They kept on crying out. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. They could climb over the crowds. It didn't matter to them. If they could, they would have walked over the crowds. They couldn't see. And so they keep crying out, have mercy on us, have mercy on us, have mercy on us, have mercy on us. And I don't think it was just a little cry. I think it was a big cry. Because they knew that it was Christ that could make all the difference in the world. Persistent. Look, be persistent to get to Christ. Anyone ever had this happen? I know I have. Anyone ever had this happen? Maybe you get up in the morning, like this week. Let's just say this week. Some of you, you know, you had a little bit different schedule this week. Many of you did. It's Thanksgiving week. Some of you had Thanksgiving day off, or maybe you had Friday off or something, or both. Had a little different week, and so, you know, you can maybe sleep a little later, and you don't have to get up at, you know, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever time some of you get up. You know, it seems like every time I mention one day, I'll say, oh, I slept there. I'd be sleeping in for me. I get up at 3, you know. But whatever time you get up. But say you sleep a little bit later than normal. You ever have this happen in you? You say, well, I'm going to get up and read my Bible. And then you get up and read your Bible. And then you think, oh, I got to take care of this. And you take care of that. And then the phone rings. And you got to answer the phone, take care of that. And then before all, something else happens. And, you know, and it's like, you know, you're trying to get to your Bible reading, but it seems like you just got one interruption after another interruption after another interruption, another interruption. You ever had anything like that happen? And then you say, you know, I'm going to pray. I'm going to get along with God. I'm going to pray. And then, you know, then up comes somebody else, or maybe one of your family members get up and they ask you a question. And then you're kind of thrown off. Yeah, I'd take care of that for you. Take care of that. You know, just, hey, look, be persistent. Get to Christ anyway. Just stay with it. I'll tell you what, these blind men, I guarantee you, they were glad they stayed with it. They were persistent. They got to Jesus. And I believe that Jesus' heart was touched by that. He had great mercy and great compassion. And the Bible said the reason why is because their condition was so bad, because they kept crying out to God. But thirdly, because of their conversion. Notice what happened. Now that they got to Jesus, Jesus not only gave them sight, but he gave them faith and belief. He heard their cry, verse 32, the Bible said. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I should do unto you? Jesus calls unto those men and they responded to the call. You see, Calvary calls for all men to come unto him. When Jesus was calling unto them, what is it that you want? Obviously, it's obvious they want healing, but Jesus wanted them to see something more than that. They needed spiritual cleansing. And they recognized him as Lord in verse 33. They said unto him, Lord. Notice that. Three times he's called Lord in this passage. They knew that if they were to have the mercy of God, they needed to call on him as their Lord. They recognized him as Lord. And then the Bible says, thirdly, that they followed him as their Savior. Did you see that? It was simply a call unto him for healing, but they followed him, the Bible said, at the end of verse 34. You see, getting saved is one thing. Following him is something else. What are you following tonight? What are you following? It's all about following Jesus. I love to walk with the Savior. I think it's a wonderful privilege. I'm glad that we have a Savior that we can walk with. Amen. I'm glad he's a risen Savior. I'm glad he's not in the grave anymore. I'm glad I don't have to build some idol to a God that's dead. But I'm glad that we have a cross that's empty and he's resurrected. Christ is so compassionate that he sees the condition of these men. He hears their cry. He sees the conversion of our souls unto him. Dr. E. Robertson tells a story about how that he was down in Florida holding a revival meeting. He was holding this revival meeting. He was so concerned with that town, and he went down and he was holding this meeting where it was a very crowded building. There were many well-dressed men and women in this revival meeting. On the front row, there sat one young little boy who was barefoot and had tattered clothes. He listened to the message, and when he had given the invitation, the boy walked to the back of the church, and he came down and he brought a man in his 20s to the altar to trust Christ as Savior. The next night, the barefoot boy shows up again. This time he brought two more people. Two more people had come, and he had sat in the same spot, and they were sort of in the back of the church, and he went back there and he brought those two, and they came to the altar, and they trusted Christ as Savior. Before the revival meeting was over, he brought several people to come and got saved. Some barefoot little boy. His name was Nick, and his parents are drunkards. But Nick had gotten saved and got real burning about reaching other people around him. And when Dr. Robertson began to inquire of him, he couldn't understand all that was involved until the pastor explained. The next morning, Nick showed up at the pastor's home where he knew that Dr. Robertson would be spending the night and ready to leave out to go back to Chattanooga. The little boy came and he brought him a bag and handed it to him and said, "Before you go, I have a gift I want to give you." And he looked inside the bag. He wasn't sure what to expect. He looked inside the bag and there were some different kinds of vegetables and a few fruit. And he said, "Our family, we grow these, and I wanted to give you these. I didn't have any money to give you, but I want to give you something to let you know. Thank you for preaching the gospel. My friends are now believers in Christ." When he looked at that bag, he lifted his eyes for a moment to look at the little boy, and he saw the little boy had scratches all over his bare feet. Where he'd gone through the briars and shrubs to get the fruit and collect it to put it in the bag. See, that little boy never got over it. He wanted to see his friends saved. I want to say to you tonight that if a 10-year-old boy can bring people to a revival meeting and bring them down the aisle to get saved, don't you think we could do something for Christ? Don't you think we could reach some people? I believe we can. Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still compassionate. He knows a condition. He hears a cry, and when they're converted, oh, how heavens rejoice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, we thank you. We thank you for what you have given to us in Jesus Christ. But Lord, we also pray for those who know not Christ. We pray for family members. We pray for friends. We pray for neighbors. We pray for those around us.